Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Public health experts say the spread of misinformation on social media is leading to a dangerous drop in vaccination rates in Wisconsin. Mike Moan reports.
Surveys show the percentage of Americans who believe vaccines are unsafe has nearly doubled since 2021, as social media users falsely claim approved vaccines cause autism, cancer, and infertility. Dr. Monica Wang says these falsehoods spread faster than the truth with damaging results.
This health misinformation spread can erode trust in healthcare systems. It can lead to people delaying when they go to a doctor to seek help.
Wang says social media algorithms are keeping users in so-called information silos, left to discern what is true. The Wisconsin Policy Forum says vaccination rates for Wisconsin school children slightly rebounded last year, but remain well below pre-pandemic levels. Studies show misinformation regarding the COVID-19 vaccine has cost the U.S. up to $300 million a day in healthcare and economic losses since 2021. It's also contributed to an estimated 300,000 preventable deaths of unvaccinated individuals. With COVID-19 cases still circulating, Wang says scientists can also use social media to create health content and regain the public's trust.
We as researchers can do a better job about communicating our science, and that means we start communicating our results and our processes in language that's easy and accessible for everyday people to understand.
Wang says social media users should look for health information from established medical institutions institutions and avoid content making sensational medical claims. And she says, when in doubt, don't share information that lacks scientific credentials. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Box Mike. Friday nights at 7.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Wind chill advisory to start your Sunday, as wind chills will be as cold as 15 to 20 degrees below zero. Any morning flurries or blowing snow will end. We'll see mostly cloudy skies today. We'll be near 5 above later in the afternoon. Currently 7 degrees below zero.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. Hey, we're gonna have a
good day. This is the Empowered Caregiver Show. If you are a caregiver or know someone who is, this show is meant to uplift you through education and support, while also lifting up every caregiver's invaluable role in society. Now, here is the Empowered Caregiver and your host, Liza Helen Brand.
You're listening to a pre-recorded episode of The Empowered Caregiver.
The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Helen Brand. Today, I will be talking with Tim Markle of The Forgiveness Factors. Tim's teachings are based on the work of Dr. Robert Enright, the father of forgiveness research. Forgiveness means different things to different people, but in general, it involves the intentional decision to let go of resentment and anger. Anger. Forgiveness brings a kind of peace that allows you to focus on yourself and helps you go on with life. So you may be asking, why would I want to talk about forgiveness in a show that is meant to support, educate, advocate, and celebrate family caregivers? And my answer to that question is that for many, caregiving is an emotional journey. Whether you're caring for aging parents, a disabled child, or a loved one that's fallen ill, in addition to figuring out and managing the care for that person, you also have to figure out and manage a wide range of emotions that comes along with caregiving. And I see forgiveness as a tool in the caregiver's toolbox. For me personally, my caregiving role had kind of opened a Pandora's box of mental health challenges, from childhood trauma to trying to care for another human being while wrestling the obstacles of having ADHD myself. And so I hope that not everyone's struggle was like mine. But regardless, I don't think that you can go through the caregiving experience without feeling this wide range of emotions. You know, feelings like guilt, frustration, anger, the word that I can now say, and hopelessness are all emotions that creep into our caregiving journey. And the fact that we even feel these can lead to shame. So now not only are we stuck in these not so desirable emotions, we also feel ashamed of ourselves for even having them. In my opinion, I feel like we can't work through these emotions without some level of forgiveness for ourselves and others. So I absolutely cannot wait to talk to Tim Markle from The Forgiveness Factor about how forgiveness can empower caregivers on their caregiving journey. Welcome, Tim, and thank you so much for joining me tonight.
I am so excited to be here, Liza. That was a beautiful setup, and I cannot agree with you more. As a caregiver myself, the journey has been one that has been surprising at times, has been angry producing at times, and has been wonderful at times. And just forgiveness is one of those ways that I've learned to, like you were saying, deal with the past as well as what's going on today so that I can live better in the future.
I love that. And you know, Tim, I sent you a long list of forgiveness scenarios, such as how do you forgive someone who hasn't or won't say that they're sorry? What do you do when someone has apologized, but you are struggling to forgive them? Some of the other ones, how do you forgive someone who's no longer with us? And what do you do when you are seeking forgiveness from someone who is not willing to forgive you? And then, of course, the caregiving example above. How do we forgive sometimes ourselves? So I cannot wait to hear your answers to these questions. But first, can you tell me a little bit about what the forgiveness factor is?
Sure. So many, many years ago, starting in around 2014, is I was finishing up a master's program, and I was given the choice of do you want to write a paper, do research and write paper? And I'm like, oh, that sounds really boring. That's just not me. So what happens to this awesome paper that I write in there? Well, it usually gets bound and we'll put it on a shelf. I'm like, that does not sound good. Is there any other options? And they're like, well, you can do what's called a capstone project. So I was working through my own journey of forgiveness with my dad and trying to figure out, is this forgiveness thing real outside of the faith background that I was a part of? Is there any scientific evidence to forgiveness? Are there ways to learn how to forgive? Can we learn how to forgive? Because a lot of people I talk to are just like me. They grew up knowing that forgiveness is good, and people tell you you should forgive, and sometimes you feel guilty if you don't forgive, and you really want to, but nobody ever sat down and taught me how. Are there steps? Are there ways? Are there things that I could think about? Are there ways that I can change about the way that I'm looking at the world, the way that I look at myself, that could lead me to forgiveness? And so I looked at my faith background and I looked at the scientific evidence for forgiveness, and I wanted to see where those two overlapped. And that's when I put together the first curriculum of Freedom Through Forgiveness. And I presented it to a small group of church friends that I knew, and then someone at Stoughton Hospital heard about it, and someone over there heard about it, and someone at this conference heard about it. And I started to see that there was this real hunger for forgiveness, for learning how to forgive, for dealing with the stuff that we have inside of us, not just ignoring it and not just pretending it's not there, but honestly dealing with it. And so out of that is we came up with Forgiveness Factor. Forgiveness Factor is this vehicle, this vessel, that you will, that I use to talk about forgiveness and mental health. I talk about how to forgive and what I'm seeing as an unforgiving world. I have been fortunate enough to go to conferences in Wisconsin, in Oklahoma City. We're just in Chicago this last year. And I do this with the support of Dr. Enright and the International Forgiveness Institute. The way that I like to talk about it is Dr. Enright and the International Forgiveness Institute, they're over in Israel. They're over in Ireland. They're at these hot spots where there are just long-standing dissension and long-standing anger. And they are working on trying to raise up children in schools to learn how to forgive. I'm fortunate enough that I get to do that in Wisconsin, and I get to do that in the places that I get invited to. But it's all about coming to that point of saying what I am doing with my anger, with my resentments, the way I am dealing with it, with life, isn't working anymore. It's frustrating me. It's hurting me. It's hurting my family. I'm continuing down a road that I don't want to go down, but no one has showed me how to change my direction. So I really see forgiveness as one of those things where people sit there and say, you know, I've tried all these things and it's not working. Maybe forgiveness is something I can try.
I love that. And I'm thinking it's kind of sad that for some, you know, me included, sometimes forgiveness is your last ditch effort. should be your first, right?
Well, if we, and you got to think though, when have you been taught about forgiveness? How much forgiveness do you see in the world? How much of the day do you hear stories about people forgiving each other and how to forgive each other and being taught about the inherent worth of each other and that we can forgive that person because they're a person? I think we have a lot of messages that really contradict that. So it's really hard to get to that point of forgiveness instead of being stuck with revenge.
I'm curious, what is your definition of forgiveness, or what does forgiveness mean to you?
Sure. So I'm going to use the definition that I use when I teach with Dr. Enright. And what he says is that forgiveness, when we forgive, we willingly and deliberately offer goodness to those who have been unfair to us. So the bad news is, it starts with pain. It starts with unfairness. Is when we've been unfairly hurt, we react. It's very natural. Everybody does it. Sometimes we react in ways that result in anger or result in resentments growing up. And so when we look at forgiveness, we say, okay, I've been unhurt. I've reacted to this hurt, and it's not necessarily in a healthy way. So I am going to make a decision that I am going to forgive someone, that I am going to look at what happened, and instead of returning anger and returning hurt for that initial hurt, I'm going to try to get to the point where I can offer them goodness. And in doing that, we change the way that we interact with them. We change the way we interact with the world. We can feel this weight that's lifted off of us because we're no longer dragging along all this pain and all this anger that we've built up over the years.
Well, and you know, speaking of that pain and anger, I feel like that is something that can become hardwired in you. So to make the conscious choice to forgive is going to take some effort. And I would assume it's not one and done, right?
Absolutely.
I forgive you.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely correct. And it does get hardwired into us, and then it gets reinforced by the messages of the world around us. And sometimes it gets reinforced by our own families. You know, everybody agrees with us that Aunt whoever is, you know, that person that you don't invite to Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner. People may not ever remember why, but you just know that that aunt isn't that they did something. And we pass on that anger from generation to generation. And so it can get built in. And so it takes a very deliberate effort to dig it out and to consciously change the way that we're reacting.
You're listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. Today, I'm talking with Tim Markle from The Forgiveness Factor. Tim is helping me understand the importance of forgiving in the caregiver's journey. When we come back, I'm going to ask Tim about how we deal with some of the challenging forgiveness scenarios, like how to forgive someone who has no intentions of apologizing, and how to forgive someone when you really, really do not want to. And lastly, how forgiving yourself is essential to caregiving.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK. The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Box Mike. Friday nights at 7 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone. I went through it a while back. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The patented key ingredient is something called Testofen, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text HOT to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever.
The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to a pre-recorded episode of The Empowered Caregiver.
You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. Today, I am talking with Tim Markle from The Forgiveness Factor about the power behind forgiveness.
Great song, Harry Warren, but
Tim,
there never
Fred
was a train
Rogers,
from New York to Chattanooga.
Mr. Rogers,
except in that song, Tex Medici. I saw the Glenn Miller story with my dad at the Town Theater in Milwaukee.
Friends. It can be hardest of all to forgive people we love.
Tex Medici wasn't
growing
it.
Growing up, Mr. Rogers was
a notable omission. Turned out Mrs. Miller didn't like Tex. Here's Tex Medici and his orchestra on the Music of the Stars. WRJM. Tex Medici and the orchestra, Glenn Miller and his orchestra, Sun Valley Serenade, 1941. And by the way, this is stereo. Tell you why later.
We'll be right back.
O'Connor, Gene Sabledon.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played.
Songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like me, we had it made. Those were the days. Didn't need no welfare state.
Lee Adams and Charlie Strauss, a couple of Broadway composers. Oh, let's see. I was going to tell you something about stereo. Yeah, the Sun Valley Serenades in stereo. It wasn't intended to be that way, but we are in stereo on FM. Yeah, two channel. That was recorded with two microphones, and they didn't intend to make it two channel, but those recordings are now stereo. 1941. Is that the first time? Who knows? Here's Bing Crosby, The Music of the Stars. Thanks for being here. We're statewide on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Once upon a time, there was a tavern where we used to raise a glass or two. Remember how we laughed away the hours. Think of all the great things we would do. Those were the days, my friend, we thought they'd never end. We'd sing and dance forever and a day. We'd live the life we'd choose. We'd fight and never lose, for we were young and sure to have our way. Just tonight I stood before the tavern. Seemed the way it used to be. In the glass I saw a strange reflection. Was that lonely fella really me? Those were the days, my friend, we thought they'd never. And a day we'd live the life. twice and heard you call my name. Oh, my friend, we're older, but no wiser. Cause in our hearts the dreams are still the same. Those were the days, my friend, we thought they'd never end. We'd sing and dance forever and a day. We'd live the life we'd choose. We'd fight and never lose. Those were the days, oh yes, those were the days. And by us, we lost our starry notion on the way. If by chance I see you in the tavern, we'll smile at one another and we'll say, those were the days, my friend. Thought they'd never end. We'd sing and dance forever and a day. We'd live the life we'd choose. We'd fight and never lose. Those were the days, oh yes, those were the days.
Bing Crosby. I don't know who that band is, but I got some information about stereo. It seems like Walt Disney invented stereo. Now, I'll tell you about that in just a bit. Carol O'Connor, you heard him earlier. Well, did you know he wrote that ending theme of All in the Family? In fact, here he does it as a solo. Sonny Bono introduces him. Carol O'Connor, did you know he was in the Ten Commandments? Not Sonny, Carol O'Connor.
Gentlemen, Mr. Carol O'Connor.
I think by now most of you know the opening theme of All in the Family, but I don't know if many of you have taken much notice of a very nice closing theme we have. And I didn't notice it for a couple of weeks after beginning my show, and I did notice it, and I asked my friend Roger Kellaway, who composed the music, if I could have permission to do a lyric to it, and he said fine. So I wrote the lyric to it, and the title of it is Remembering You. And it's our pleasure, Rogers and mine, to do this, words and music, for you tonight.
Same as it used to be, I see. tomorrow I can start him. Remembering, sad because we're parting. Remembering, consolate my heart in. Remembering you.
Carol O'Connor. Tierney wrote. And by the way, Jean Stapleton really did sing, and pretty well, too. Here she is.
From the Broadway musical, Sound of Music, Rodgers and Hammerstein's simple statement of faith and perseverance.
Stapleton.
And stepping up to the plate, the
Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Show business was finding a song called I Left My Heart in San Francisco, and Here's a kind of abstract song to explain how it feels when you visit there. It isn't far to Hushabye Mountain, and your boat waits down by the quay.
Stars, WRJN, and statewide now on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome. And we're worldwide at WRJN.com. Studio. The roads are hazardous. Not all over, but enough. That'll take you by surprise. Be careful. About Walt Disney inventing stereo. No, he didn't sit down and think, I'll do this. It kind of just happened. With Fantasia, 1940. Fantasia with Leopold Stokowski and the Disney engineers. They broke new ground with what they called Fantasound, multi-track. First film with stereophonic sound. By the way, that wasn't recorded in California, except for the Sorcerer's Apprentice with Mickey Mouse. No, it was recorded in the Philadelphia Academy of Music. 96 speakers, 9 microphones. Thank you. finally saw Fantasia at the Times Theater in Milwaukee. Oh, 60 years ago, I think it was. The Music of the Stars. Lincoln Center in New York, with the home of Tony Bennett's last performances.
Whoa. I have the new iPhone 15. With that amazing camera, I wish my family had them.
Zoe, you're an action star. Hey, action. Join me.
Once knew better words, now only use four-letter words. Writing prose, anything goes. The world has gone mad today, and good's bad today.
A day's night today, a black's white today.
And most guys today, that woman cries today.
I just silly gigolo.
And though I'm not a great romancer,
I know you're bound to answer when we
of Cole Porter, and it starred Kevin Kline and Ashley Judd. It's 2004. Here's Kevin singing.
Strange to you,
the Music of the Star.
Dear, when I'm close to you, dear, stars fill the sky, so in love with you. The night when you first were there, in love with my joy.
Wait. You all right? A few people may have been carried out of my shows, but no one's ever been carried in.
Is the lovely, highly recommended.
In love with a night mysterious.
the night mysterious, the night when you first were there, in love with my joy delirious, when I knew that you could care. So taunt me and hurt me, deceive me, desert me, I'm yours till I'm done. So in love, so in love, so in love.
Klein, the lovely 2004. These are the four lads. This is the music of the stars. Statewide on the Civic Media Radio Network from WRJN.
Strange, dear, but true, dear, when I'm close to you.
From Toronto. Cole Porter. It just doesn't get any better. Ella Fitzgerald. The music of the stars.
I feel a sudden urge to sing the kind of ditty that invokes the spring. So control your desire to curse. This verse I've started seems to me the ten antitheses of melody. So to spare you all the pain, I'll skip the darn thing and sing the refrain. You're sentimental, cause so am I. It's delightful, it's delicious, it's lovely. You can tell at a glance what a swell night this is for romance. You can hear dear Mother Nature murmuring low. Let yourself go, so please be sweet, my chickadee. And when I kiss you, just say to me, it's delightful, it's delicious, it's delectable, it's delirious, it's dilemma, it's dilemmit, it's deluxe, it's delovely. You can tell at a glance what a swell night this is for romance. You can hear dear Mother Nature murmuring low. Let yourself go, so please be sweet, my chickadee. And when I kiss you, just say to me, it's delightful, it's delicious, it's delectable, it's delirious, it's dilemma, it's dilemmit, it's deluxe, it's delovely.
Time has come, it's very clear. The car you've wanted is really here.
It's delightful, it's delovely,
it's DeSoto. You'll understand the reasons why. For once you drive it, you'll want to buy.
It's delightful, it's delovely,
it's DeSoto.
You can tell at a glance
that this swell car is far in advance. You can hear that great big engine murmuring low. So make sure you see and drive the new DeSoto. Why, man alive, it's delightful, it's lovely, it's delirious, it's the living, and it's the latest, it's the limit, it's deluxe, it's DeSoto.
Music of the Star. Wonder if they paid for that, for those rights. All right, let's take a break. Update on news and, yeah, weather. Hey, so all seriousness aside, it's almost spring. I told you it's not serious. I'm Lou Regani. Stand by for more on the Music of the Stars.
Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.